This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:40 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're now talking about concerns surrounding domestic abuse during the Movement Control Order. So ever since the MCO kicked in, we've heard groups representing vulnerable, affected communities speaking up, all the way from how it would impact people living in PPRs in close quarters, Orang Asli communities, and also what we're talking about today, victims and potential victims of domestic abuse. And this is important, of course, since it happens in private spaces, it's harder to track. And now, with everyone being asked to stay home under stressful circumstances, this is a real worry. So several groups, ranging from psychologists to MPs, have urged the government to not overlook cases of domestic violence and child abuse, since, like we said earlier, this very nature of the Movement Control Order puts vulnerable individuals at greater risk. It's harder for them to get out of it. It's harder to even alert people to the situation that's at hand. Now, looking at what the government's done, after getting backlash from closing the Talian Kase hotline at the start of the MCO, the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry has since kept it open and says it will take all calls seriously. And while they've reported no rise in cases so far, instead saying that I believe most of the calls that have been coming through have been more about counselling in terms of dealing with the MCO at large, nevertheless, domestic violence is a growing problem. In fact, the hotline saw a 70% increase in calls from 2018 to 2019, and most of them were either for domestic violence or child abuse. And looking worldwide, I mean, we're not alone in this. As most countries are enforcing their own lockdowns or movement restrictions, they're finding creative ways to adapt. For instance, France has told victims to head to the pharmacy and ask for help by using the code word MASK19 if they're unable to or too scared to call the police. Their government is also paying for hotel rooms to house victims after reports of domestic abuse spiked by 36% 1 week after their lockdown started. And this is a never-endingly complex issue, I think, because even outside of the extraordinary circumstances that we now find ourselves in with the MCO, there are various complicating factors about why it is that people might not be able to report the abuse that they're facing, why it is that people might not be able to get out of the situation that they're in, and the difficulties surrounding making their way in the world even after that. And now, with movement being restricted, with people potentially being locked in with their abusers, it adds an unneeded, you know, an unwanted layer of complication on top of something that was already bad. So we are going to be diving into this issue and to just take a closer look at what the situation is like on the ground here in our country. We're crossing over to Tan Hyang Lee, Advocacy and Communications Officer at the Women's Aid Organization, or WAO. Hyang Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about shelters, first of all, I guess. Are shelters for abuse victims considered an essential service right now? How much has the MCO affected operations in a place like the WAO?
So no, shelters are currently not considered an essential service. And in terms of how this has impacted WAO, it means that it's harder for us to get supplies to our shelter. And it's also harder for us to meet survivors in person. But nonetheless, WAO has actually been scaling up our efforts to support survivors because we recognize the added risk that they face during this time. So for example, we have extended our hotline operations to 24 hours. So if any of you out there is experiencing domestic violence, you can contact our hotline as well as WhatsApp us, and both our numbers are available on our website, which is wao.org.my. And we are also improvising the way we deliver services. This includes providing therapy and counseling sessions through Google Hangouts.
So on that note, I think that this is one of those questions that comes up about the true scope of the issue here in the country, right? The Women and Family Development Ministry has refuted news reports claiming that there's been a 57% increase in domestic violence, or an increase of over 1,800 calls during the MCO last month. Would you have any sense of what the numbers are and what figures the WAO themselves are seeing?
On WAO's end, from February to March 2020, we have actually seen a 44% increase in hotline calls and WhatsApp inquiries. And if we were to look at the month of March itself, when we compare the period after the MCO began, we have actually seen a 14% increase before and after the MCO. So our numbers do indicate that there has been an increase in hotline calls and WhatsApp inquiries.
What sort of inquiries or help, I suppose, have people been looking for?
So most of our inquiries are related to domestic violence, and we have actually been receiving several calls from survivors who are asking whether or not it is acceptable for them to escape during the MCO. So survivors are actually uncertain about what the current status, and when we receive those calls, we would advise them on how they can escape in a safe manner.
Can you take us through that? I mean, I know that each situation is going to be different, but we do know that there are certain, I guess, almost universal factors that would make things difficult, right? For instance, being in the same space, being forced to stay in, having difficulty in terms of movement and mobility at the moment. So what kind of advice are you offering right now in terms of making that safe escape?
Right. So for survivors to actually leave the violence, oftentimes it requires them to plan their escape. So it's not just something that, you know, happens, overnight. So safety planning could include having a phone with you at all times and saving important numbers in your phone, including the WAO hotline and WhatsApp number. And it could also look like identifying safe areas in the house where there are no weapons and there is a way for you to leave if anything were to happen, and when arguments happen, it would be good to move to those areas. It could also entail teaching your children on how to call for help, whether it's the police or WAO, if there were to be an emergency in the household. So these are just some, you know, examples of things that survivors can do. And of course, each situation is unique. But in any case, if you need any support or advice, you can reach out to WAO through our hotline and as well as our WhatsApp line. And we've actually been seeing an increase, steeper increase in hotline inquiries relative to hotline calls. We've seen a steeper increase in WhatsApp inquiries relative to hotline calls. And this suggests us that, generally speaking, reaching out through WhatsApp could be safer because it's a little more discreet. And perhaps for some survivors, if they don't have the phone credit to call us, then WhatsApp is a free option to reach out.
And whether it's through WhatsApp or the hotline, do you find that you have been able, WAO has been able to offer full support to the survivors who are seeking help during this time?
Yes, we actually managed to do a rescue of a survivor together, working together with the police. So what happened was a survivor, she was being severely physically abused by her husband, and she WhatsApp us asking for assistance. And when we received request for help, we knew it was a really urgent case. And we then notified the police, specifically the 11 of Bukit Aman, which is the unit that handles a lot of domestic violence cases. And within the same day itself, the police station within that area was notified, and the survivor was rescued by the police. WAO was also supporting that process. The survivor was then brought to the hospital, and she received medical attention and was later brought to a safe place. So it is possible for survivors to get support even during the MCO, and that's what we really, really want to stand out there to assure survivors that they can seek help.
Is there any sense to what is causing this escalation in domestic abuse cases at the moment?
Right. So, in terms of what causes this rise in domestic violence, of course, it's multifaceted. But what I would say is that domestic violence is about maintaining power and control. So domestic violence often involves this power imbalance between a couple, and the abuser's desire to control the other person. And in a time like this, where you have a lot of uncertainty, as well as financial stresses and isolation, this could, you know, aggravate an abuser's desire to exert power and control over their partner. So that's one reason or one factor. Another thing that also makes survivors more at risk is that many survivors may be unable to work during the MCO, which makes them even more financially dependent on the abuser. And as a result, it can be harder for them to leave the abusive relationship.
Overall, what are the gaps in protecting victims of abuse that are becoming more obvious because of the times that we find ourselves in?
So one, you know, really key gap is that there is a lack of a standardized SOP for responding to domestic violence during the MCO. So while I did share a story of a successful rescue, we have also, encountered other cases whereby survivors were actually turned away at the police station and told to return after the MCO. So it shows that there is just a lack of standardized SOP for responding to survivors. And, you know, we hope that the government would clarify on what the process is like for survivors to seek help. The second thing which I had, you know, alluded to earlier is that many survivors are uncertain about whether they can leave and how they can get protection. So again, what the government needs to do is to do more public service announcements, sending a clear message that survivors can escape during this time, and to also explain how exactly they can get protection. And such public service announcements also send the message to abusers that they will be penalized for their actions even during this time. Another gap is that there is a dire lack of shelters in Malaysia. So even before the MCO, there wasn't enough shelters to meet the needs of survivors. And in fact, currently, WAO's shelter is at full capacity, and there isn't a lot of other options options for places to house survivors. So now we are actually looking and exploring other shelter arrangements. And one thing that the government can do is to set up temporary shelters in places such as hotels or hostels to meet the need for shelters during this time.
You know, one of the measures, and we talked about this earlier, taken in some other countries, was to set up emergency warning systems in places like pharmacies and supermarkets, essentially spaces that we're still allowed to visit even during this period. Would such measures be possible here?
We should try to reach survivors in every way we can, so such measures are worth trying. But of course, no measure is foolproof. And one potential unintended consequence is that an abuser may actually prohibit a survivor from going out to go to the pharmacy or supermarket if he knows that that is a place where she can get help. So that's a thing that we need to also be, mindful of.
And you talked earlier about some of the ways in which there have been gaps in the system. How would you like to see domestic abuse addressed more prominently as part of the country's national response plan to COVID-19? I mean, there are lots and lots of issues and communities vying for representation in this moment. But when it comes to domestic abuse, how would you like to see it addressed?
So first, we need to clarify SOPs on responding to domestic violence and ensure that these SOPs are adhered to by all frontline officers. The next would be to increase the availability of shelter services and to make shelters an essential service. And the third would be to do more public service announcements to let survivors know that they can escape during this time and that there are ways for them to do so. And the last thing would be empowering communities to also play their part in supporting survivors. So if you know of a survivor of domestic violence, something that you can do is to share with them WAO's hotline number as well as our WhatsApp number, and both numbers are available on our website. wao.org.my. And if you hear your neighbors fighting and you suspect that abuse is happening, something that you could do is to ring the bell and, you know, ask for, pretend to ask for supplies such as sugar or flour or rice or whatever it is. And just the act of ringing the bell could send a message to the abuser that the community is indeed watching. And of course, share our hotline number and WhatsApp number with a survivor if you suspect that someone is being abused.
Heng Li, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Tan Heng Li, Advocacy and Communications Officer at WAO, or the Women's Aid Organization. And if you or someone you know is experiencing domestic abuse or other forms of gender-based violence, you can contact the WAO hotline at 03-7956-3488. That's Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Heng Li earlier referenced the fact that WhatsApp appears to be working really well at the moment as well. So you can also send a WhatsApp to 018-988-0058. Those numbers again, the hotline is 03-7956-3488. The WhatsApp, 018-988-0058. And that's available 24 hours a day. You can also find more information on wao.org.my. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.